produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Well, a very good morning to you. I am Pearl Coupe. I'm coming to you from Pretoria, South Africa. And this is our regular weekly program called Ambassador of Change. Ambassador of Change. And I would like to talk to you about hope today. I don't know what nation you may be in. This program is broadcast around many nations in the world. But today I want us to talk about hope. And in South Africa, like many other nations, we are starting to see the results of what has been labeled as a global pandemic due to coronavirus, which is also known as COVID-19. And so globally around the nations, some of the nations in Europe have been the worst hit. Asia also experienced a very bad experience with the virus. And now Europe is currently battling, in particular, the nations in Italy, in Spain, UK also being very hard hit with the virus, and United States also is high up on the list with other nations. But today I don't want us to focus on statistics. We can look at statistics, and in South Africa we do have some, you know, concerning statistics. We have been said by the media to have over 1,000 cases. I think altogether it's 1,135 confirmed cases of COVID-19. We've recorded one death. It had initially been recorded as two deaths, but they are now saying that the other death was actually not due to COVID-19. The death, nevertheless, is still of importance, but COVID-19 is not the cause. And we've had over 30, I believe it's 31 recoveries. And to that, we want to give God glory, because sometimes we focus on the losses and we don't testify about those who have been saved. So we want to thank God for the 31 recoveries that have been recorded. Of those 31 recoveries, we also have learned that there's still, of the over 1,135 cases, I think, that 55 are in hospital, and of those 55, 3 are said to be on ventilators. So let's please remember those who are in hospital, those who are struggling to breathe in ventilators. Just remember to pray for them, that God will give and bring air into their lungs. Those who have been confirmed cases, pray for recovery, restoration, and healing. And those who have not yet been impacted, let us pray that God will continue to keep them under his wing of protection, and continue to pray Psalms 91 over each and every one of them. So today, like I said, I want us to focus on hope. Hope. Let's start with the definition of hope. What does hope actually mean? And in defining hope, I want us to look at the Hebrew definitions and to look also at the Greek definition. The main word in Hebrew that describes hope is a word. It's spelled T-I-K-V-A. T-I-K-V-A. Tikva is the pronunciation. And when you talk about hope in a plural sense, when you talk about hopes, for instance, and you say hopes, then the plural of tikva is likavot. So tikva is the Hebrew word for hope. And what I found very interesting, some of you may have heard this word before, and I think some of you may have heard it just from the Israeli national anthem. It may interest you to know that the Israeli national anthem is referred to as the HaTikvah. The HaTikvah, that is the Israeli national anthem. And so HaTikvah actually means to have hope. So their national anthem is a song of hope. It is a song of hope. It is a song that gives hope. I can't think of any better way to have a national anthem. Every day or every time you sing your national anthem, you are releasing hope. You are focusing on hope and just declaring hope over the nation. HaTikvah, Israel's national anthem, means to have hope. And so the Hebrew word for hope really is expressing having some sort of expectation. In Hebrew, when we talk about hope, we're talking about having some sort of expectation. And in Greek, the word for hope in Greek is elpizo. Elpizo. And when you study and do an etymology of the word elpizo, it comes from the word elpis, which means to anticipate. And it is an anticipation that comes with pleasure. So you are greatly anticipating something that is going to be give you pleasure. Elpizo is the word for hope. So we've talked about the meaning of the word hope, and we've looked at the Hebrew and the Greek definitions. I now would like to move on to the consequence. What does it mean? What are the implications of not having hope? Consequences of not having hope. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to me? Well, when you don't have hope, that means that you are hopeless. You are hopeless. So to not have hope makes you hopeless. And what are the consequences of hopelessness? Let's go to the word to dig out what could be one of the consequences or implications of not having hope in your life. And Proverbs 13:12 is a very good word, which gives us a picture of what happens to one when one is hopeless or one has no hope in their life. And the word of God says in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Wow. Let me read that again. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, that is the desire of hope now. When the desire of hope comes, it is a tree of life. So the consequences, the main and key consequence of not having hope, of being in a state of hopelessness, of being in a place where you just, everything just looks, you know, completely hopeless, completely helpless, and you do not have a single hope in your life. The consequence of that is that you become sick. Your heart becomes sick. So it brings sickness into your body, sickness into your heart. There is an adulteration of some sort, and it causes sickness. And it can cause sickness in the physical realm. It can cause sickness in, you know, from an emotional perspective. And it also can cause sickness from a spiritual realm. So the sickness now can occur at many different levels. When your heart is impacted, your heart speaks to your body, your heart speaks to your spirit, your heart speaks to your soul, to your emotions. So when sickness comes into your heart, it means that sickness comes into you at different levels. It comes into you in a physical level, in a natural level. Sickness comes to you at a spiritual level, and sickness also comes at a soulish level, which is an emotional level. It comes into your mind, into your emotions, and all of that. It affects you. But now that the opposite of that, it says that now when the desire comes and when hope begins to enter into you again, it is a tree of life. So in as much as hopelessness brings sickness, hope also brings life. It is a tree of life. It begins to grow in you. It begins to release life into you. So I'm reminded of the scripture in Proverbs when it talks, in fact, it's Psalms 1, and it talks about being a tree It talks about that we are like trees planted by the rivers of life. A tree planted by the river and exuding life. So when you are that tree planted by the rivers of water and life begins to come out of you, your leaf will not wither, but you will begin to exude life and you will bear fruit, all of that. So hope is a tree of life. When you receive hope, when you walk in hope, when you carry hope, life begins to come from you. You exude life. And many people who are hopelessness, who are walking in hopelessness, rather, there's no life that's coming from them. There's no life that emanates from them. They're walking in a state of depression. In you know, you just see that they've been drained. Life has been sucked out of them, and they've been drained of all life. So hope and life go hand in hand. And when you have no hope, your heart becomes sick at different levels. It can bring sickness in your body, as we've said. It can bring sickness in your soul. It can bring sickness in your spirit, where your spirit man just becomes hopeless. Without hope, your heart becomes sick. So we've looked at the meaning of hope from a Hebraic meaning, the Hebraic meaning. We've looked at the Greek meaning. We've looked at one of the key consequences of not having hope, of being hopeless. And now I want us to look at what I've called hope killers. What are those things that can come into your life that kill hope? And we're not going to have time in this particular session to look at all the hope killers, but I want us to look at the number one hope killer. That thing which will come into your life and completely shatter and destroy every aspect of hope in your life. I believe that the number one hope killer is fear. Fear. Fear is that thing that if you allow it to come into your life, to enter into your heart, to enter into your spirit, fear is a number one hope killer. And we've addressed this previously in one of my other recordings. We talked about God not having given us a spirit of fear. Of course, that is 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if we're going to not allow the hope that is in us to be killed, we have to walk in hope and not in fear. We have to walk in power. We have to walk in love and of a sound mind, because fear is not of God. Fear is not what God gives us. So we cannot allow the entrance of fear into our lives. Fear does not come from God. Fear comes from the enemy. Fear comes from the devil. Fear is the opposite of faith. And the minute we allow fear to come in, we are now legally opening to the enemy entrance for sickness, entrance for fear, all of those things. So we have to shut the door to fear, which is a hope killer, Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear not. Now, this is an instruction. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And the word says, fear not. And why should we not fear? Fear not, for I am with you. Wow, that is awesome. Isn't that great? The knowledge of knowing that wherever you go, God is with you. The Bible tells us that he will never leave nor forsake us. Still continuing with Isaiah 41, 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That is a promise that God has given us, that he's always with us. So I want to declare to you in this time, in this day, fear not, whatever the statistics may be of COVID-19, whatever coronavirus may be trying to speak into your life and bringing fear with all that's being said, with all the media reports, with all the WhatsApps that you've received that are talking negativity, that are talking about how many people have died and that are talking about the incurability of the virus, or whatever they're saying in terms of the virus, that there's no vaccine. I want to declare to you today, fear not. And why should you not fear? Fear not, because God is with you. God is with you, beloved. Wherever you go, He's with you. Many of you are in lockdown right now in our houses, but don't allow the fact that perhaps your government, your nation, the policies and regulations have said, do not go outside. Listen, be locked in your house and locked in the presence of God. He said He is with you. Be locked in His presence. Be locked in worship. Be locked in prayer. Fear not, because God is with you. Wherever you are, even if you're in your house, He is with you and He is your God and He will strengthen you. He'll strengthen your heart. He'll strengthen you and give you peace, and He will help you in this time. He'll help your children, your whole family. You may be locked down in your house with your family, but God will strengthen you. He will give you peace. He will bring shalom into your household in the name of Jesus, and He will uphold you with His righteous right hand. You will not perish. You will not die before your appointed time. Fear not, for the Lord God is with you. He is Elohim. He is the high and lifted God. He is the great and mighty God. He is the awesome God. He is the I am that I am. He is God who is healer. Fear not, I declare to you right now. Let hope enter into your heart. Let hope not be deferred, but let hope grow. We declare right now that the hope that is in you, let it begin to be watered by the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. Fear not, because the Lord your God, He is your hope. He is your strength in the name of Jesus. Do not fear. Do not fear. And 1 John 4:18 says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And so right now we decree also and just want to pray that the love of God, may the love of God that is in you, may be shed, that is shed abroad. Let that love be made manifest in your life right now. May you be cognizant and may you be conscious of the love of God that is in your life. That from the moment that God touched your life and touched your heart, that He loved you with an unconditional love. He gave His only begotten Son for you, and He has loved you and He continues to love you. And because of that love, it is that love, that perfect love of God, that will cast out every spirit of fear that tries to take root and a hold of your heart right now in the name of Jesus. May the perfect love of God that abides in you, that rests in you, the unconditional love of God that is in you, may it cast out every spirit of fear that is in your, that is trying to take root in your heart and in your life and in your household right now, in the name of Jesus. We decree that that perfect love right now casts out and binds and rebukes every spirit of fear, because that fear, if you allow it in, it will torment you. But we decree right now, you walk in hope, you rise up in hope. You, wherever you are in hope. You take your bread and your water in hope. Whatever you are doing, you pray in hope. You speak in hope. You make declarations in hope. Hope surrounds you like a mighty shield in the name of Jesus. And hope embraces you and your household in this time in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will not allow our hope to be killed. Psalm 23:4 is another great verse that makes sure that our hope, the hope that is in us, will not be killed. And Psalm 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It may look like the shadow of death is upon us, in our nations, in our cities, in our homes, etc. But right now we want to decree and declare that whatever the situation may look like, whatever circumstances, we will fear no evil. We will not fear you, coronavirus. We will not fear you, COVID-19, whatever name you go by. We fear no evil in the name of Jesus. And the reason why we do not fear any evil is because God is with us. Lord, you are with us. And we thank you that you will not leave leave us. You will not forsake us, but you surround us like a mighty shield. Hallelujah. And your rod and your staff, they comfort us in every nation. We decree to every nation right now. We are in the SADC nation. So we speak to every nation, to Angola, to Botswana, to Lesotho, to Swaziland, to Namibia, to South Africa, to Zimbabwe, to Zambia. My God, we speak to every nation in the SADC region, to Lesotho, every single nation in the SADC region, even in East Africa, in West Africa. East Africa, we speak to you, to Uganda, to Kenya, to Tanzania and West Africa, and we speak to Nigeria and Ghana, every nation out there, Central Africa, to DRC, to Cameroon, all those nations, even North Africa, Morocco, Sudan, and South Sudan, and Egypt, all those nations, every continent, we speak to every continent right now, to Asia, to Europe, to South America, to North America, we speak to every nation, to United Kingdom, my God, we speak to every single nation, to Antarctica, and we decree and declare, to Europe, we decree and declare right now, that the Lord is with us in every nation, and his rod and his staff, they comfort us. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the comforter in the name of Jesus. We give glory and we thank God for you. And we will not allow our hope to be killed. In Mark 6, verse 50. Mark 6 verse 50 says this. It says, for they all saw him. This is Jesus who they saw. They all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he, this is Jesus now, immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Well, I just pray for each and every one of us that if your hearts are troubled, that right now your hearts will not be troubled, but let God speak to you right now. Jesus spoke to his disciples right then, and may the Holy Spirit minister to you in this time and speak to you and cause your hearts to be comforted, and the comforter himself, may he just come into your hearts, and the comforter, may he just envelop you and wrap his arms around you, that you will know and you will not be troubled, and you will know that the Lord God is with you, and may he speak to you and minister to you in this time in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Well, I want us to know also that hope comes from God. Hope comes from God. And we need to know that the world cannot offer us hope. The world cannot offer us hope. The world is itself is in a place of panic and anxiety and stress. Politicians can promise, but we can see even now that some of the politicians themselves are getting the virus, and there's not really much hope that they can present us without God. The only hope, and if you are a world leader out there, I want to decree and declare to you that the only hope that you should be presenting, the key hope that you should be presenting as a head of state, as a president, as a leader, is the hope of glory himself, which is Christ. Hope comes from God. And the main hope, key hope that you should be speaking as a leader, as a president, as a vice president, as a minister of health, the main hope that you should be presenting right now is Christ himself, who is the hope of glory. Hope comes from God, and hope is God. He is hope. Hope comes from God. And Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the God of hope, beloveds. Psalm 147:11 tells us that the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, those who hope in his mercy. God delights, beloveds. He delights in those who put their hopes in his unfailing love. And again, I say to you, if you are a leader out there, the hope that you need to present is not a hope so much in medicine, and a hope in hospitals, and yes, cures and vaccines and all that. And it's good to be giving people practical things of what to do. But the main hope that we must be presenting is hope in God, that he is the hope. Christ, the hope of glory. I'm grateful that in South Africa, our president has been encouraging the body of Christ to rise up and present that hope, that he's been encouraging the body of Christ to come together in prayer, and that he is presenting God as hope. May he continue to do that even after the lockdown is over. President Cyril Ramaphosa, we're praying for you right now, and we are just praying that you will continue to present God and Christ as the hope of glory, even after the lockdown, even after the threat of coronavirus of COVID-19 is over. May you continue to lift up Christ and to point to Christ as the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The world cannot offer us hope. Let us point to the one who has created the earth and the one who created all of creation as the one who can give us hope. Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, and the world and those who dwell therein." Who can give us better hope than the one who created the earth himself? The earth, the heavens, all of those belong to God, and he is the creator. Let us point everyone to the creator as the one who not only gives hope, but he is hope himself. Christ, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Christ is the hope. And that's from Colossians 1:27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is the hope, beloveds. He is the hope. Let's never forget to present him at this time. Even as we're giving practical instructions on how to avoid or contain COVID, on self-isolating, on you know, locking down, all of those measures that are being taken in terms of what to drink, increasing our immunity, loading up with vitamin C's and echinacea and olive leaves and all those medicinal good advices. But the best advice that you can ever give is that Christ, let Christ be our hope in this time. Christ, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who hope in the Lord," some versions say trust, it also means hope. "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." My goodness, when you have hope in the Lord, when you trust in him, your strength will be renewed and you will begin to soar up on wings like an eagle, and you will run, you will not grow weary, you will walk, and you will not be faint. So when we have hope in him, we are strengthened. Hallelujah. I give God glory. And we're thankful. We've talked about hope. We've defined it, what it is in Hebrew, what it is in Greek. We've talked about the consequence, the implication of not having hope, that when you are hopeless, that your heart becomes sick. But when you have hope, that hope becomes a tree of life in your life. Hallelujah. We've talked about some of the hope killers. In fact, the main hope killer being fear. And we've given scriptures around how to keep fear out, because we don't want our hope to be killed. We want our hope rather to grow. And we've talked about the fact that hope comes from God. And not only does it come from God, but that hope is God. Christ is the hope of glory. And we recognize that the world cannot offer us hope. Politicians, governments are desperate, crying all over the world. Hospitals and caregivers are doing their best, and we lift them up in prayer. But ultimately, it's God who can offer us that hope. It's God who can offer us himself, who is the hope. And we thank God that Christ is the hope of glory. I want to close out this recording just with a very short prayer. Job 11:18 says, "And you would be secure because there is hope." Because there is hope. Yes, you would dig around you and take your rest in safety. And so I want to pray that as you have hope, because you have hope, you will be secure. Because you have hope, you will be able to take your rest in safety. And my prayer for you is that you will not allow any hope that is in you to be killed. You will not allow any hope that is in you to be diminished by statistics, by world reports. You will not allow any hope that is in you to be scattered, but that you will walk in hope. You will take your rest in hope, and you will be strengthened by that hope, and you will understand that Christ himself is hope. Embrace him even at a greater level in this season. Embrace him. Embrace his salvation. Embrace his deliverance. Embrace his healing in the name of Jesus. May Christ alone be your hope. Christ, the hope of glory, may he be your hope in this time and in this season. I love you with the love of the Lord, and we give God all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Hey, part two, as we continue once again on our SKM Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network International, the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Australia, and catching you every week, words of hope, words to strengthen your faith in times of crisis like this. And we're dealing with a particular topic: freeways, highways, and byways. We catch up from where we left last week. Freeway, it leads me to my Bethlehem. The freeways of life, I'm led to my Bethlehem. But sooner or later, after I got my faith, after I established purpose, after I established what God has destined for my life, sooner or later, I'm led to a highway. And the highway leads me to a traffic light. There I stop, because introspectively, I need to check what I have believed, where I believed it in the journey of faith in Bethlehem. Bethlehem gave me faith, gave my feet to stand on the rock. Bethlehem established my walk with him. Bethlehem taught me that I believe there is a Redeemer. Bethlehem taught me that without God, I can't operate. And Bethlehem taught me it is going to be a journey of faith if I'm going to make it. It's away from a sensual realm. It is a journey of faith if I'm going to make it with him. Number two, I'm led to a highway to wilderness. The wilderness road, it's a road that I find myself, check my motives, check character, check what am I made out of. Because right there, I'll be tempted in three areas. Pressure to pleasure myself, pressure to conform, to possess stuff to myself, pressure of prestige, my ego. Is it me or is it Christ? Very important. The moment I qualify on the highway to wilderness, the journey continues, and it will lead me to a particular route, and that place is going to take me to a road to Galilee. Road to Galilee. Chapter 4, the book of Luke, from verse 14. Jesus, when he arrives in Galilee, he picks up the scroll and he picks up a book written by one of the old prophets, by the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 61, opens up and he begins to read. Watch what he reads. Chapter 4, from verse 14 to 16, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Why? "He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to bind the brokenhearted, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Please watch where we are coming from. My first journey takes me to Bethlehem. I learn faith in Bethlehem. I learned my salvation experience and my destinies promised to me in Bethlehem. But immediately I'm put on a highway in the wildernesses of life. There, categorically, I'll be tempted in three areas. Pleasure, possession, and prestige. Watch. When I pass the exam on the journey to my wilderness, it leads me to push me forward in my journey to Galilee. When I arrive at Galilee, Galilee will teach me empowerment. After every challenge as a child of God, after every temptation as a child of God, after every tragedy, every storm, every traumatic experience in your life, mental, emotional, or physical, your ability to stand, trust, and believe God on a wilderness journey categorically pushes you to Galilee, because in Galilee, you speak with authority. We call it Shemika. That word Shemika deals with the divine enablement and empowerment given by God Almighty. And that empowerment becomes critical for my journey as I walk with God. Because you can't operate on the highways of life without anointing. Anointing becomes the tools and the skills required for longevity. Right? Once I qualify and I have moved with God on the journey to Galilee, and my Galilean trip has empowered me, it takes me to a particular place. And this is now another road. It's a road to Jericho. The road to Jericho. Watch, please, where we go, where we are coming from. Number one, we are coming from the journey to Bethlehem, where we learn to walk, depend on God by faith. We are led to road number two, wilderness, where we are tempted, pleasure, possession, prestige. Then we are led to Galilee, where we are learned, or where we learn there is empowerment provided, coming from the Holy Spirit. We call it anointment. We call it anointing. We call it power. We call it divine enablement. We call it the source of strength. It is the fuel for every believer that will reach their destiny as they walk with God. Right there in Galilee, we find ourselves empowered for the brokenhearted on the journey. Empowered for the poor to receive the gospel. Empowered for the bound or those in bondage to set them free. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't avoid a Galilean route, because a Galilean road, that's where you require and you need empowerment for your life. Once you qualify in a life of empowerment, you go on to the Jericho Road. Under the Jericho Road, we are told in Luke chapter 10, verse 30, a man was there, started off his journey from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way to Jericho, met up with thugs, met up with criminals, who ripped him of his image, of his status, of his belongings, left him wounded, left him for dead. These are roads traveled and must by every child of God. So let us help and correct the theology through which many of us have been raised. A theology that says that when I'm a child of God, I'm not going to meet up with any attacks. When I'm a child of God, I'm not going to be confronted or meet up with any traumatic experiences. Being a child of God does not make you immune from trials, temptations, and tragedies of life. Please, journey with me. On the Jericho Road. Now, it's interesting. We need to find out what was it that was so special about Jericho that made this man to move from Jerusalem. You need to understand the historical evidence of that time is that Jericho was a hot spot, a holiday resort for many tourists would go there. Jericho was well known for what it provided for many visitors. It was in Jericho, ladies and gentlemen, where even the King Herod, as we know him, he had built his palace there. So it was a hotspot, a beehive for marketing opportunities and trade. A man was going down Jericho Road for business, for holiday, for vacation. Did not make it all the way to where he was going to go and regroup, to go and rest, to go and have a retreat, to go and have a time of rebuilding his strength and rebuilding his strength. Allow me therefore to say to us, ladies and gentlemen, the whole world around us today, we have been subjected to a Jericho experience. It's a Jericho experience because it seems as if when we cut off 2019 with our resolutions written down on our pieces of paper journals, we expected 2020 to deliver, a new decade to deliver, a new experience to deliver, a new year to deliver, opportunities to deliver, resolutions that were so tangible for many of us. Little did we know, we would not finish the month of January until we are caught up with the pandemic in our midst. What started as an epidemic ended up shutting the systems of the world, the whole cosmos, the whole systems, the whole globe under crash, brought down to ground zero. We find ourselves on a Jericho experience. It is a Jericho experience because little did we know that it will be a virus. It won't be an army. It won't be a military coup. But a virus will shut down the whole globe, subjecting us to stay home experiences, subjecting us to social distancing, subjecting us to isolating and quarantine moments. A virus. I call that a Jericho moment. So you agree with me that all of us, we are finding ourselves on a Jericho moment. But the Jericho moments are necessary, for they are not designed to crush you. They are not designed to destroy hope. They are not designed to kill creativity and ingenuity in you. Jericho moments are designed to make you understand that despite the criminals, the thieves, and the murderers that find me on my way to fulfill my destiny, killing my creativity and my ingenuity, but God provides three things again. On this Jericho Road, few people passed by. The priest passed by, was afraid. The other guy passed by, Levite, was afraid, left him there. But the good Samaritan passed by, saw him, went, knelt down, and applied three things. He applied number one, oil. He applied number two, wine. He applied number three, refuge. Three things you'll find on the Jericho Road. A good Samaritan used oil for the wounds. Ah, it becomes then interesting. To live life, ladies and gentlemen, is to experience rejection. To live life, ladies and gentlemen, is to experience trauma, to experience victimization, to experience abuse, is to experience people talking bad about you. To live life on the Jericho Road, it's an unavoidable experience. Jericho will subject you where your dreams can be stolen, where the enemy will try to steal your creativity, to steal your hope, to steal your joy. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jericho moments are unavoidable, but on the Jericho roads, we are met with the Good Samaritan, because Good Samaritan comes along with oil. Oil is to comfort me. Two, wine is a disinfectant for my wounds, for my woundedness. But refuge is to offer me shelter, protection, and covering. Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that on the Jericho Road, Jericho moments are roads where you and I cannot avoid. There are moments where you and I are confronted by harsh realities of life. Moments where we find ourselves, our identity, our significance, our value is tempered with. But God provides oil, wine, and refuge. As I come to a close, when you are healed by God, He leads you to a place that which we call crossways. What is crossways? Crossways, these are places where you are required to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. Now, you are almost there. I know now you are thinking, oh, again. But it's important that you understand that the journey to the cross, it is to crucify not your friends or your mama who doesn't like you. It is to crucify you. Self must die at the cross. So Luke tells us, chapter 9, verse 50, if anyone will be my disciple, let them, number one, deny themselves. Let them pick up their own cross. Let them follow me. The cross, it is not a place for endearment. It is a place where flesh must die. And that flesh is my flesh. Because at the cross, Jesus died for you and for me. Your own cross is designed for you to die. Till you speak Galatians 2 verse 20. At the cross, you begin to say, it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. But guess what? Beyond the cross, I know you are not thinking, oh my gosh, what's going to happen again? Ladies and gentlemen, the end of our final road, it is the road to Emmaus. Road to Emmaus. Road to Emmaus becomes very critical because right there, the whole experience of dying to self on the cross has left me somewhat not happy with God, disappointed. I thought I was promised from journey of faith number one, joy, peace, glory, and all the nice stuff. But no, it was bandages, it was oil, it was comforting me, it was discouragement, it was pain upon pain. What's happening with me? The road to Emmaus, watch this. It starts by two disciples who are discouraged, who are in pain, who are in sorrow. They are talking. But watch, they're talking about the events that have just happened in Jerusalem. It's sorrow upon sorrow. Bad news. Their master had gone, had been crucified on the cross. It is a sad moment because they expected Jesus to have been the one who liberated them from their oppressors of the time. But watch, Jesus comes along by, joins the two disciples. This is where it becomes very interesting. I want you to watch this. The road to Emmaus. Jesus listens to the conversation. He joins the conversation. Until one of them then says, "Are you the only one here in Jerusalem who is not aware of the events that have just taken place about this man who was called Jesus?" And Jesus, I love his sense of humor. When you walk with him, you soon know how he works. He says, purposely, "What things are you talking about?" As if he doesn't know. To provoke a kind of communication that will reveal three things to these boys on the way. Number one, it will reveal divine revelation of who Jesus is. Two, divine companionship that can only be provided by God and by God alone. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. What money cannot give you, what your friends cannot give you, your college mates cannot give you, your high school friends cannot give you, what your parents have failed to give you, he can give you a divine companionship. They then even invited him, "Come and sleep. You can continue with your journey tomorrow." Divine companionship. At the table, as they were eating, something happens. And that was now a divine manifestation of his power. When he took bread, broke bread, the Bible says, the way he broke it, it sounded very familiar, the words he spoke, and they realized, we were talking with the true bread of life who was broken for us. Indeed, he was the one. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining along with us. SKM Shimikoti Ministries, Radio Network International, the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo. Pretty flyover of what we have already dealt with. You start in Bethlehem, that's faith. Mind you, Jesus there is small, is a baby, but that's not the baby Jesus that you're seeing. It is a picture, a caricature of who you are, an image of yourself as a baby in Christ, where you begin. And then we manage to find ourselves, we find ourselves on the highway to a wilderness. In the wilderness, we're tempted in three areas: pleasure, possession, and prestige. As we continue with him, we are led to our Galilean experience. That's where we are empowered. We get a refueling and we declare, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Anointment in Galilee becomes important, because when I leave Galilee, I'm going to need that anointing on the way, because on my way down to Jericho to go and enjoy and replenish and enjoy what God is doing in my life, restful moments, there is an enemy that steals, kills, and destroys and cut off the wind of me. But I thank God there are three things readily available for you: oil, wine, and refuge. That takes you straight to a place of the Crossways Avenue. Once now at the cross, there, that cross, it is not for anybody else. The cross is not for all those people that you think there are an issue in your life. The cross is to crucify you. Death to self brings you to a resurrection moment. When you resurrect moment, three things take place. That which you did not understand along the way leaves you with the three things: revelation, companionship, and manifestation. Thank you. Lord, I pray for this wonderful audience, and I pray that, God, you bless them in all their endeavors as they continue to work together. And I pray that, God, these roads that you find ourselves in, we are subjected. The road to Bethlehem, the road to the wilderness, the road to Galilee, the road to Jericho, the road to the cross, and the road to Emmaus. May you reveal who you are to us so that we can declare, I will never depart from this highway because I know him. Not because I know church or I know religion, but I know him. We declare like the Apostle Paul, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings, that I may be made conformed to his image. In Jesus' name, I want to pray for you. If you require prayer in any area of your life, that you and I, seeing that we will find ourselves in any one of these roads, I don't know where you are. There are many of you that might find themselves in Jericho Road. You are hurt. You've got questions. You don't understand this thing about the COVID-19, how it happened and what happened and stuff like that. You are hurt. You are wounded. You are on a Jericho experience and you are so done. Hey, for some, the whole journey of faith, it is now only becoming now a nightmare. You don't even want to hear about the Bible, about prayer. Let me help you rise up. Take up your cross. Follow him. Crucify flesh so that the newness of life might be revealed. That's where we become a sweet fragrance server, sweet smelling server before him. In Jesus' name. Bless you. See you again next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.